Let's ask for God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your providence, the church at Corinth had problems. Because it's through those problems that we learn about your grace and learn about the gospel. And pray this morning that we will learn from this and apply it in our own lives and in our own church. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tough love can be tough. But what is tough love? Well, it's about showing love to another person in a situation where you might end up having to challenge them, which of course they don't always like. Or even you may end up hurting them in trying to help them, or that's how they feel. The cost of tough love is that the person may end up not only rejecting your help, but they may end up rejecting you and the relationship. And there's roughly two cases, I think, where tough love turns up. One, if you happen to be a parent, being a parent at times means challenging your child's choices and their behaviour. Tough love means helping them to grow up and face the real world, even when they don't want to. And the second one is being part of a family or being a very close friend of someone in your family or someone in your friendship group that is addicted. Addicted to gambling, alcoholism, pornography, gaming, drugs, getting into debt with credit cards. Tough love is needed to help them. Help them to face their addiction, deal with their addiction, but it's not always welcomed. I remember one person I used to work with, they actually used tough love on themselves. They unfortunately got caught up in the credit situation where they were maxing out one lot of credit cards, so they took out some other credit cards to pay those credit cards off, and of course they never got paid off because the new credit cards had the debt. So in the end, and it was a good choice, they actually took out a loan and paid off their credit cards and then destroyed them. Sometimes we do tough love on ourselves, but most times we need tough love from outside. Tough love is rarely appreciated, but sometimes it can be acknowledged after many years. The goal of tough love is and should always be the good of the other person. What about tough love in the church? The Apostle Paul in our section this morning, out of deep love for the Corinthians, uses tough love. They had to face up to a situation that they were refusing to do anything about. He wrote to them a letter. They responded to that letter by actually dealing with the problem. But then they had to be reminded that tough love's aim is for the good of the person. Not just about punishing or correcting, it's about restoring and rebuilding. The Apostle Paul reminded the Corinthians that his own goal, and he uses himself as an example, was for their good. His role as an apostle wasn't to rule over them, but to serve them and encourage them. As he says at the end of chapter 1, I call God as my witness that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth, nor that we lorded over you, over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. So he explains why he decided not to revisit them. He had visited them once. It had gone pear-shaped, wasn't well received. He decided not to visit them again, but to write to them instead. And in his mind, he wrote them a love letter, because he wanted to deal with the issue, but he was unsure how they would receive it. So let's have a look at verses 1 to 4. It's always hard when you try to deal with difficult situations with someone that you are unsure how they will respond. Paul's painful visit to the Corinthians had left him with scars. He had not been well received. They had not wanted to deal with the problem. And he did not think it was beneficial for him to go back for a second visit so soon. So he decides to write to them with the hope that somehow this would encourage them to deal with the situation and welcome him back in verses 1 to 3. So I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad? But you whom I have grieved. I wrote, as I did so, that when I came, I should not be distressed by those who ought to make me rejoice. It was Paul's intention not to upset them. It's never anybody's intention to upset someone when they're trying to deal with a person's issues or concerns. Paul didn't want to upset them. He didn't want to cause them any grief. For Paul's ministry to the Corinthians, he wanted to have mutual encouragement. He wanted to rejoice in his ministry to them, and he wanted them to rejoice in his ministry. They were the source of his joy, and he had no desire to make them the source of his grief. We can have lots of joy out of our relationships, especially being part of a family, but the people who bring us the most joy can also bring us the most sorrow and grief, because we become vulnerable in our relationship. And Paul in this letter makes himself vulnerable to the Corinthians. But he's confident that by God's grace they will understand what he's doing and why he's doing it, so that in the end they will rejoice together. As he says at the end of verse 3, I have confidence in all of you that you would all share my joy. What Paul wanted was that both of them would be the source of joy for each other. And isn't that what we want in all our relationships, and especially in our Christian relationships? That these relationships bring us joy. A joy that we can share with each other, and a joy that strengthens the relationship. Christian relationships should bring about joy for each other. Not a pretend joy or a false joy, but a joy that is centered in Christ Jesus and acknowledges that we are united in Christ and that we are related to one another because of Christ. And the foundation of this relationship is love. Love for God and love for one another. So Paul's relationship with the Corinthians was not just a professional one, you know, I'm the apostle, you're the church, but a personal one in which Paul has a deep love for them, a love that wants them to honour Christ in all their relationship. Paul in this letter wears his heart on his sleeve, and we see into Paul's heart for the Corinthians as he reminds them of the love that he has for them. But this reminds us that as Christians, we should follow Paul's example in loving one another. Even in spite of a painful visit where he was rejected, he still is committed to them in Christ. Look at verse 4. For I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depths of my love for you. Paul was honest about his feelings. Paul was honest about the frame of mind that he was in when he was writing this letter, now lost. He says he wrote out of great distress and anguish, which could go back to chapter 1. He talks about the trials in Asia where he thought he was going to die. But I think it's also his own feelings towards the Corinthians because of how he treated them. When a relationship is breaking down or we feel a bit awkward, it's very hard to talk to one another. He was hoping that they would respond rightly to his letter, but he was not sure. They treated him pretty badly, but he still loved them. But he also said he wrote not with the purpose of grieving them or even justifying himself, but out of his deep love for them in Christ. For I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of love. Know the depth of my love for you. Paul is very raw here. There's no professional etiquette. He loves these people and he exposes himself. He makes himself vulnerable. And that challenges us. Because Paul's aim is wanting to correct and rebuke the Corinthians. So here's our challenge. Can you and I correct or rebuke or discipline in such a way that it is driven by love for the other person? That it doesn't come out of a sense of hurt, I'm hurt and I'm angry, nor does it come out of a sense of self-righteousness, I'm better than you. Do we have tears when it comes to pointing out someone's sins, which are possibly causing them hurt, or causing hurt to others, or undermining the gospel? See, Paul finds no joy in pointing out the issues to the Corinthians, but he does do it because he is driven by love. Love for them and love for Christ who loves his church. You cannot correct or rebuke unless you are driven by love. And do it with tears. It's never easy correcting someone, and most times, and if you do go in love, they simply see you as judging them because you won't let them do what they want. I remember when I and one of the elders here at TPC went to visit someone because they were living in such a way that they were not honouring Christ. There we stood outside their home, not sure about how the other elder felt, but I was in fear and dread. My stomach was in knots. I didn't want to upset the person. But I knew, and I knew that I would upset the person because I was going to challenge them about their lifestyle. Before we went in, we prayed for the person, prayed about the situation, and after we left, we prayed. I mean, I wanted joy as much as the other person in our ministry, but sometimes joy doesn't happen. Another time, I had to visit someone, a couple, not here, and this time, no elder wanted to come with me. And I had to go and speak to the couple. I wanted joy. I didn't want to cause any grief. And I still remember walking to their place. I was walking like I was walking to my own execution. There is no joy in wanting to point out someone's sin. And I think that's where Paul is saying. He doesn't want to cause grief, but he knows he needs to point it out. The church needs to honor Christ. Anyone who finds joy or satisfaction in correcting a person isn't following Paul's example. Paul loved them enough to correct them, but he did it with tears and in love, and so should all our discipline be done. I was once a part of another denomination that prided itself on discipline. It's the mark of one of the marks of the true church, they said. Interesting enough, 90% of their discipline cases were people that they chucked out of the church. You think that statistic in itself should have some warning. Because the goal of discipline, but the goal of tough love is always the good for the person, restoring that person in all their relationships. Well, it seems that this letter that Paul sent to them by God's grace had actually moved them finally to deal with the issue. Paul had found this out because Titus had gone to Corinth with this letter that's now lost. He had finally come back to Macedonia, or found Paul in Macedonia, with the news that the Corinthians had responded to the letter. They were going to deal with the issue. They were going to show tough love to this person in the church that had sinned. Great. Then there was another problem. They were showing tough love one moment, but this person had now repented and they needed to show love. And they didn't seem to be doing it. So Paul, who's reaffirmed his own love to them by this letter, now needs to remind them in this letter that they need to reaffirm their love to the person who had sinned and repented in verses 5 to 11. Either in a family or even within a church family, someone's decision or action can and does affect more than just them. I mean, you've heard the expression, as long as I don't hurt anybody, I can do whatever I like. My, you must be on an island with no one else around you if that's going to happen. How many stories have you heard about ministers or church leaders behaving badly? I knew of a situation where a new minister came to town with his wife and left town with an elder's wife. That man devastated that family, that church, and that community. Choices affect people, especially in small communities, in churches. People's choices in families, in the church, in the workplace, even on sporting teams, can affect other people. So Paul tells the Corinthians that he wrote this letter not because he had been really hurt and wanted to deal with his own pain, nor because he felt his authority had been ignored. No, because What this person had done, it affected the whole church. And Paul loves the church. He wanted to be focused on Christ. Their lack of action towards this person's sinful action was damaging their witness and the church's fellowship. As he says in verse 5, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me, it's not a personal issue, as he has grieved all of you to some extent, but not to put it too severely. See, due to this letter, the church had finally dealt with the person with tough love. Paul had written it because it was affecting the whole church. And in verse 6, we're told, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. So their action in wanting to correct this person was enough, and things had also changed. Now, their commitment to Paul and his authority was great, but they were taking it too far and now showing a lack of love. One of the greatest joys in any ministry is seeing a person who was once going away from Jesus, turning around and following Jesus. One of the saddest things, of course, is seeing someone who was following Jesus turn around and walk away from Jesus. I remember spending time with one bloke and really getting into God's word, but there was always an issue. He kept criticizing the people in the church as if they just weren't good enough and they weren't being solid and they weren't following Jesus in the right way and they weren't really gospel focused. And in the end, he left. Not just the church, but Jesus. He was so harsh on people, which I think was simply masking his own failure to apply what it means to love God's people. You look at the Corinthians. If there's any church that is unlovable, it's the Corinthians. But praise God for the Corinthians, because we have two letters that both encourage us and challenge us. And especially 2 Corinthians, as we see Paul's love towards a group that responds to him in a negative way. So one of the greatest joys in any ministry is seeing a person who was once going away from Jesus, turning back and following Jesus. And what should our response be to such a person? Well, joy, I would think. We should be rejoicing when someone was walking away from Jesus and now turning back. We should be welcoming them, that person, back into the fellowship. But for some strange reason, maybe for some confused idea of loyalty, the Corinthians weren't doing that. Look at verse 7 and 8. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. The whole purpose and aim of discipline should always be the restoration of the person once they have repented. That's the goal. It's not about punishing. It's not about putting people in their places. It's about restoring, rebuilding. Love, forgiveness, and comfort are the three things that should be offered to this person who was deeply sorry for what they had done. You can see Paul's mention. Whatever he had done, he was really sorry. He was sorrowful because it says at the end of verse 7, so that he would not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. He felt his sin. And this is like Christianity 101, isn't it? Well, the Corinthians and us need to be reminded of the Lord Jesus' teaching when he said in Luke, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. There's a challenge. But the Lord also taught us to pray and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And you remember the story Jesus told about the servant who was forgiven by his master, forgiven a huge debt, but refused to forgive a small debt that was owed him by another servant. The servant was punished for being unforgiving. And Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Love, forgiveness, it's fundamental to what it means to being a Christian and being a church. And Paul affirms this in Galatians when he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Paul has shown his love to the Corinthians by this letter. And the Corinthians now need to show their love to the person who's repented by receiving him back into the church, not just keeping him out. Paul used tough love to correct the Corinthians. The Corinthians had used tough love to correct this person, and it worked. But the goal of tough love is always about restoring the person in their relationship with God and with others. Paul's letter was written with the hope that they would obey him, and they did, and they now needed to obey him again. In verse 9, the reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. And they were. They were putting the gospel first. So he encourages them to forgive because he's forgiven that person. And so should they in verse 10. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Paul is saying, I'm sincere in my forgiveness of this particular person. There may be a personal affront, but Paul's not worried about his own personal affront. He's worried about the church. He's sincere about forgiving this person because he lives in the sight or the presence of Christ, as all Christians should live, knowing that they live before Christ, who will one day judge us for every word and every action we do. In private or in public, Paul lived knowing that Christ was watching. Do you? Are you the same person in private as you are in public? Are there things that you do in private that you are ashamed of or would be embarrassed by and definitely afraid that other people would ever find out? Know that you can't hide from the Lord Jesus. He's always watching. So like Paul, live as if you are living in the sight of Christ. Paul's forgiveness is sincere because he knows that Christ will judge him. Our love and our forgiveness should also be sincere because Christ will judge us in how we love and how we deal with one another. But Paul ends with a warning that if the Corinthians don't forgive the person, then Satan will get the upper hand. Because Satan can destroy a church in many ways. The church can either not care about moral behavior, and therefore anything goes, doesn't matter, and Christ is dishonored. Or it becomes legalistic and demands from people more than the gospel calls them to do, and the people end up hurt, wounded, and scarred. That previous denomination I had belonged to, many of those people that were thrown out did not go to another church because they were hurt. They weren't restored. They had scars. How can I trust other Christians or other churches when this is how I've been treated? And that dishonors Christ as much as the other situation dishonors Christ. Paul is concerned that this person would be swallowed up by their grief and possibly their sense of rejection. Therefore, Satan's won. This person has been rejected by the Christian community and walks away, maybe never to follow Christ again. Satan has won. And he gets a double win because the Christian community, which should have loved and forgiven, fails to love and show forgiveness. He gets a double win. That's what he means. We know. For we are not unaware of his schemes because Satan wants to always undermine the witness of the church. Satan will use anything to damage relationships within the church. If he can divide the church, he will do so, be it legalistically or just license. We must never allow him a way in, but must continue to be shaped by love in all our relationships. Because love moved the Father to send the Son. Love is the foundation of the gospel. And love moved the Son to obey the Father and come into the world as a man and die for you and for me. And yes, love sent the Holy Spirit to enable us to love God, to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to love our neighbours. So Paul in this section has both challenged us and warned us that tough love is needed at times, but tough love has a goal, and that is the restoration of that person. But it must come out of love for the other person, not out of hurt or self-righteousness, but because we want that person to be restored in their relationship with God and with one another. So let love be the basis of all our relationships within this church, so that we will be able to reflect God's love to the world. So that when people come in, they might say, look at all these people. Look at how much they love each other. God must be at work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. For even relating to a church that at times ignored him, criticized him, judged him, he loved them. Loved them enough to see them deal with issues, to be restored in their relationship with you and with him, but also continue to correct them. That as love is the foundation of the gospel and the basis of all our relationship, help us as a church to love one another, to seek the good of each other, so that you may be glorified and honored. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.